Welcome to Licking the Bowl, the story of an appetite with recipes. I'm Erica Lutz, recording from a secret, undisclosed location. Licking the Bowl is a forthcoming book. It's this podcast. It's a memoir with recipes. It's the story of a life recreated. It's my new thing with chickens. Episode 7. We'll call it Roasted and Raw. Couple of recipes, a Rumi poem, and Linda Berry. Last week, I came down off the hill. I flew all night across the country and then drove an hour north for a week-long writing and drawing workshop taught by Linda Berry. If you don't know who Linda Berry is, go ahead, stop the podcast, and go Google her. Pretty cool, huh? Yeah, it was really amazing. She's an amazing teacher. I went from my forest on the western slope of the Sierra foothills to the green, moist forest of the Catskills. And there I wrote and drew all day for a week. Stayed up late laughing and drinking bourbon with my new friends. And it was fantastic, and I came home with lots of ideas about creativity and how to tap into it and letting things flow. And it also underlined my own feelings of isolation here at home. Artistic isolation. I'm a long way from the Bay Area where my artistic community has always been based. So it's a change, and I'm needing to build more here. It was a great week. Reentry is always rough. And my reentry involved hours of driving and then traffic jams in Queens and stops for fresh dumplings for lunch and bagels from the Forest Hill Bagel Factory to go and a delayed flight and cramped airplane air and the TVs just everywhere filled with hatred and fear shouting from every public place. And I don't talk politics here, but it is a hard, ugly time in this country. And no sleep except for snatched moments here and there, propped in uncomfortable positions in small places with bad air. So by the time Dan picked me up at the airport, I'd reached the point of no sleep that you get where you can't see the point of sleep. By about 2 a.m., now remember that's body time, 5 a.m., and I hadn't gotten any sleep. When we walked in the door of the secret undisclosed location, there was Oso, sleepy and ecstatic to see me, a little confused. Well, my body was home now. My brain lagged behind, somewhere over the Rockies, maybe. A good shower and I slept the sleep of the drugged. Yesterday I was off kilter. I went to the studio and I fell asleep on the daybed, ready to dream myself back into my life. Today's better. I walked into the house and Dan had laid on a towel on the kitchen counter 3 dozen large tomatoes, another 2 dozen small tomatoes. These are not our tomatoes. They're presents from Mark the Carpenter. It's summer. So this is a really wonderful time to take advantage of those amazing tomatoes and make oven-roasted tomato sauce. That's what I'm doing today, and that's the recipe that's featured in this episode. It's really tomatoes concentrated down to their beautiful, rich essence. So good, you're going to want to eat this with a spoon. And you can do that. Hey, remember, you can always find these recipes at lickingthebowl.com. And don't forget to lick the bowl. Yeah, this is Erica. Okay, back to the recipe. Oven roasted tomato sauce. You need 18 large, ripe or just slightly overripe tomatoes, about a half an onion chopped really fine, 3 cloves of garlic chopped fine, half a cup or maybe less, quarter cup to half a cup of olive oil. This is one of those recipes. You just kind of put it all until it's right. Tablespoon of sugar. Today I used brown sugar because that's what was on the counter and I didn't want to go digging around for white sugar. Some salt, some pepper, and then herbs. I used dried oregano. I used dried basil because I didn't have any fresh. I used some tarragon, fresh thyme, fresh rosemary, a little fresh sage. Really, the whole herb garden went into this. So preheat the oven to 300 and then line a cookie pan with parchment paper. You'll cut the tomatoes in half and then I seed them with my fingers in the sink or over the compost bowl. And then I put the tomato halves in a large bowl. In a smaller bowl, you're going to put your chopped onions and garlic with the olive oil and then zap it for 30 seconds. There's something about this that really helps. It softens the onions and imbues the oil with the flavors. Then into that, you'll add the sugar, the salt, pepper, and your dried herbs. And then I actually took the fresh herbs and popped them in there too. That mixture goes over the tomatoes. You toss it lightly. Then you take the tomato halves out of the bowl, place them face up on the parchment paper, and then anything that's left in the bowl, the big bowl with the onions and the herbs, etc., just pour it or sprinkle it over. In the oven, roast for about 2 hours or even more. I actually turned the oven down to 250 because I wanted to roast this for a long time. And I'm going to roast these tomatoes until they're very soft and are just starting to caramelize. If you want to, when you get near the end, if they're still not done enough, you can speed up the process by turning the oven up to about 400 or so and cooking for about 15 minutes. But watch it really carefully. You don't want the tomatoes to burn. You're looking for the edges to brown, really caramelize up. Now, with tongs, you can put the tomatoes back in your large bowl and grind it all up with your wand mixer. You may need to add some water to get the right consistency. And if you're adding water, make sure to do it really slowly. I'm excited. I'm ready for roasted tomato sauce. I think we'll have it on some pasta tonight. Licking the bowl. Sometimes it's literal, sometimes it's metaphorical, and always it's delicious. So the big news is that Luke the Crooked Rooster has found his forever home. And it's right here. We're keeping Luke the Rooster. So Luke and his hens, will be living together in peace and harmony here at Fort Chicken at the secret undisclosed location. And I know you were so worried about Luke, so hallelujah, we've decided to keep Luke. I'm really happy to be back amongst them. One of the things that I really learned and I found completely amazing about Linda Berry's workshop is her emphasis on moving swiftly, not spending a lot of time editing, and just really trusting when you're drawing, trusting the hand. I think that's true too in writing. We had a lot of timed exercises. We moved very, very fast. We wrote a couple of zines, one in about 50 minutes and one in about 30 minutes. And the work was extraordinary. A lot of really great work came out of it. We didn't look at our composition notebooks for the entire time we were there. We weren't allowed to look back at our work until the last day. So then here I am on the plane, and I did open my book, and I did start reading through. And most of it was not particularly great, but some of it was kind of good and brought me back to different times in my life. This is such an important lesson to remember for me. I tend to over-edit. I tend to spend a long time with things, and sometimes first thought, best thought. Sometimes you just have to really trust the hand. Here's a poem that Linda Berry started every writing exercise with. It's by Rumi. You are sitting here with us, but you are also out walking in a field at dawn. You are yourself the animal we hunt when you come with us on the hunt. You are in your body like a plant is solid in the ground, yet you are wind. You are the diver's clothes lying empty on the beach. You are the fish. In the ocean are many bright strands and many dark strands, like veins that are seen when a wing is lifted up. Your hidden self is blood in those veins that are lute strings that make ocean music, not the sad edge of surf, but the sound of no shore. I came home from New York with a big bag of bagels. This isn't the first time. My grandpa Harry, my dad's dad, died early in 1991, and I went to New York for the funeral. The day after, I had a full day by myself in Manhattan before I flew home on the red eye. What do you do when laden with grief and alone in a city you used to know and love? Well, if you're me, you visit the sacred places, the Jewish restaurants, the delis, the dairies, the bakeries, the places that sustain and nourish. All day I shopped in Manhattan, Zabar's, H&H Bagels, Carnegie Deli for cheesecake, Second Avenue Deli for chopped liver, Gus's Pickles, rye bread from that hole-in-the-wall bakery on 8th Street. I went to Katz's for pastrami. I filled two large cloth shopping bags before boarding the bus for the red eye out of Newark. I called Bill. Call all our friends and tell them to come over for dinner tomorrow. I got home in the morning, and that night we had a party. There were Jews who grew up on New York Jewish deli food, and Jews from the West Coast who'd never been East, and non-Jews who were tasting this amazing food for the first time. And none of us have ever forgotten that particular meal. So, your bonus recipe today is chopped chicken liver. So, ideally, you always have some chicken fat, aka schmaltz, frozen in an empty cottage cheese container. I do. When I make chicken soup or stock, I skim the fat off for other applications, including this one. You need fresh organic chicken livers. 3/4 of a pound should be good for 2 people. 1 or 2 purple onions or white onions sliced very thin. A few tablespoons of schmaltz. If you don't have the schmaltz, you can use olive oil, but it's not exactly the same. A hard-boiled egg, salt, and pepper. Boil your egg, or maybe 2. Drain the livers in a sieve or a colander in the sink. You want them dry. And then pull or cut off as much of the membrane as you can. Cut the livers in half so they're in even chunks. While the livers are draining, you're going to slice and fry the onion in the schmaltz over a medium flame until they are just beyond translucent and some of them are brown, and then set the onions aside. And then fry the livers. You may need to add a little more schmaltz. When the livers are browned but the insides are still pink, not red, transfer them and the onions to a food processor and grind it up. Add the hard-boiled egg. You may still need a little more schmaltz. Salt and pepper to taste. You probably need a fair amount of salt here. Eat this on good Jewish rye or matzah, a toasted bagel, or a spoon. Thanks for listening to episode 7 of Licking the Bowl. I'm Erica Lutz. Come visit me, lickingthebowl.com. Twitter is lickingbowl. Instagram, @lickingthebowl. Facebook, Bear Clover Productions. Don't forget to lick the bowl, baby. Don't forget to lick the bowl.